Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listening Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin. I'm one half of your hosts. The other half's Chris Glasson. He's absent. Don't know where he is. Don't really want to know where he is. You know what he's like. It's probably something very unsavoury. I've been left to do the intro and the outro on my own. Which is fine. I'm the best one, right? Anyway. Before we get on to today's guest. You like these podcasts that we put out every Monday, right? You must do because you keep downloading them. So this is episode 88, I think. So that's 88 episodes. And loads of them are two-parters as well that we've put out because you guys have been on board and really, really been kind about supporting what we do. Now then, also, did you know that there's probably about another 30 podcasts floating about? Because we release one every Wednesday as well. But that doesn't get release for free like this one. So to get that, you have to become a Patreon, and Patreon offers different levels of support from a lot of dollar, so whatever that is, I don't know what a dollar is, 70p if that. So you can head over there and you can become a Patreon, and then if you do that, then you get access to hours and hours and hours of podcasts that we've done of the Patreon-only episodes, and you get to suggest what top fives we do for future episodes, and it just means that you're kind of on board and supporting the idea that Chris and I really want to do this more of a kind of job. We really want to develop it. We've been amazed in the first year how much support we've had and you know, the amazing people that we've got to meet and sit and chat with, and we just really want to expand it. So you know, if we can find sponsors, and obviously the easiest way for listeners to get involved is to become Patreons. So if you can head over there, the address is patreon.com/hardcore listing, and as much as I've been telling you all about it, when you go over there, patreon.com/hardcore listing, there's a video, and that video features Chris and I in a hot tub. It features Scroobius Pip, it features Gail Porter, 76, Brad Acton, and all the gang, and it's all explained on that video. So go and have a look, and if you can get involved as a patron, it really would mean a lot. But anyway, back to today's episode, back to the free episode. I did just mention 76 who's in that video, so I'm going to do a big shout out to him now for producing this episode. Thank you very much, 76. You production superstar. While I'm doing the thank yous, big thanks to Brad Acton. Who else we got to thank? The Distraction Pieces Network gang. So let's do a big shout out to Scroobius Pip, Dr. Susie Gage, Jason Reed, Jim Smallman, Brett Goldstein. And I have a podcast over there as well called Off the Beaten Track, which is me nerding out about music with musicians and actors and stuff. So if you get a chance to go and have a look at that, that's also a good thing. Anyway, today's guest is the wonderful Miss B Dux. Chris and I have met B a few times, and we chat a lot on social media, and she's been very, very supportive of the podcast and stuff, and she's great. Absolutely fantastic. She thought she was a little bit nervous before we started recording, but I couldn't tell, and I'm sure you guys couldn't. She was absolutely fantastic. She chose a top five that was really personal to her. I won't tell you what it is. I will leave B to tell you that. And we had a lot of fun. It was a really nice evening, and afterwards, Us three and some others all went out for dinner, and it was a really nice night, and it couldn't have started any better than this episode. So please enjoy Hardcore Listening Podcast with our guest, the wonderful B Dux. It's a drunken soiree in the within. Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listening, the podcast.
Okay, babe, would you like to say something?
Hiya, it's me, I'm saying stuff.
Brilliant.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
I'm on, we're all on, we're all sounding great. Right. Welcome to Hardcore Listening with my good partner in crime over there. What nickname are we going with today? Herman Munster.
All right.
Because it's Halloween.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Herman Munster. Am I on what you're going to go with?
I'm going to come back to that.
Oh, okay, pretty. Well, it's been a long week, hasn't it?
Yep, it's been a long week, like your short pint. Chris said he was going to have a small pint for this. And we should point out that small pint, he's obviously a pint, is from Love Beer. So we are drinking vegan, gluten-free beer, courtesy of Love Beer. Not all of his beer is vegan and gluten-free, I should point out.
This one's from Hepworth and Co.
Hepworth,
isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. And thanks to all you lot that have been buying the Love Beer packs of beer with the Hardcore Listening code.
Yeah.
So go and have a look on his website and he will tell you all about that. So thanks to him. Thanks to our other sponsor, Bang Boom Creative. And on to today's guest.
Yes. Well, we're honoured today. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We are very much honoured today with the wonderful B Dux.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on, B.
You're all right. You're all right.
How you feeling? You nervous? You're comfortable? You're confident?
I'm pretty comfy. Yeah. Generally got an air of confidence about me, usually.
Good.
Hiding my my inner nervousness and just depression, really. Cover it with a smile. No one knows.
So, B, yes. Thank you for coming all the way from... You've come from up north, right?
Well, today I've come from Essex.
Okay.
But me personally, it all began when I was born in the north of England,
Whereabouts?
Lancashire.
Right, okay.
Yeah, a little town called Blackburn.
Yep.
You may be familiar with Blackburn Rovers.
Yes.
Yes, that's my team.
Nice.
That's my team.
Do you support teams, Jay?
I supported Arsenal until 1989,
that's right. I know,
didn't I?
I know
then I walked away from football.
Yeah, he walked away from it as if he was like a big player. Or
no, or I walked away from following it.
Why did you walk away?
Because we won the league in the most spectacular style ever.
You thought Levi were high.
And it was the year that there was a really horrible tragedy at a football match, and all the stadiums become all seater, so you couldn't stand at football anymore. And I used to like standing at football.
I see.
Then all the prices went up. And in 1989, I was like, 16, 17? And I found the Stone Roses and Girls and stuff like that and beer. And it was like, didn't have money for football anymore. I wanted to buy records. So it all changed then.
Yeah.
I couldn't ever really follow it because I'm so bad at football as a sport.
Okay.
You would have been painting like Dungeons and Dragons stuff, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I was much, much more into orcs, I think.
I'm all about it.
Well, thanks, B. I was a black belt by that point.
B. So your top five today. So before you've chosen what you have chosen, did you consider any others? And did you discuss it with people? Did you get a consensus of opinion?
I thought about it a lot. I discussed it with my friend Rebecca Crow, who you've had on the podcast before.
We have?
Yeah, she's got her own podcast called Conversation, and that's the only other podcast I've been on.
Okay.
Which is interesting. It's the first one that I've been on where I've not been knackered after getting back from a different country, so that's fun. But I was discussed with her, and I wanted to do my favourite female characters from films. But then I thought, I'll have never seen any of the films that you guys want to talk about because I'm just so much younger than you.
She looked at me when she said that, not you.
Well, all I hear about is how old you are. I just don't believe it. But yeah, so I thought about that one and I thought, I'm going to go something that I'm much more familiar and comfortable with.
Good idea.
Yeah, so I've gone for my top five favourite Robin Williams films.
That's a great shout.
It's a very good shout. I'm very impressed by that as a choice.
Have you done much research?
I have. Do you know what I first discovered? But when I started, I wrote my top five.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, what have I missed? And I got through 37 movies with him in that I hadn't seen. And I was like, Jesus, I need to watch more Robin Williams movies. He's done a lot. And not just, obviously, he's done amazing television as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a fantastic stand-up comic. So, yeah, yeah. How about you? What did you do? Do a little bit of research into
this? Well, as we know, I'm old as fuck. So, Malcolm Mindy dropped just at the right time for me. Oh, so, I would have been about 7 or 8 when all of a sudden Mook was calling Olsen, and I remember running around saying Nanu Nanu to my dad all the time. I just thought it was fucking the coolest thing ever. And I was literally singing the theme tune to the dude that sits next to me at work today, and he was like, "What's that?" And I was like, "Mook and Mindy." And he was like, "What's that?" And I just know you just think, "Oh, you're dead to me." How can you not know what fucking Mook and Mindy is?
Oh, poor guy.
He was young. Okay, well, look, we'll obviously discuss Robin Williams at length as we work our way through this. Sure. But should we get things rolling?
Are they in order, B?
Oh, it was so hard to put any of them in order. I've got, like, my favourite one, and then the rest are ones that I had to mention.
Yes.
But to be fair, I think number 5 would just be all of the ones that aren't through 1 to 4, because I just love all of the films so much. He's like the furthest thing from esoteric that anyone could be, because everyone has their favourite Robin Williams film.
Yeah.
I just love him. Oh, he's where I got my love of hairy hands from. Oh,
he truly has. He has impressively
hairy
hands.
He's the hairiest dude. Yeah. Oh my God, I love him.
Do you dig a hairy... hold on. Stupid question
just
one.
Just for context. Yeah, I do.
Hairy hands.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't think I'd go for a hairy guy. I think I'd go for one who's like, you know, aerodynamic.
Or like Duncan Goodhue.
I've always really fancied Brad Pitt. I've never seen him particularly very, very hairy.
He's a bit stubble, though.
Yeah,
he's
got a bit rough around the edges, isn't he?
No, that's good. But he doesn't have it on his body very much, does he?
I don't know.
I don't want him kissing his chest with all hairs getting in the way.
No, why would you? Why would you?
So Robin Williams, hairy hands.
Yeah. He's a really hairy guy.
Yeah.
Really hairy. Any stand-up that I've seen, usually when he's got like a shirt on, a little bit of a tough coming off his chest. Ooh. Love it. Ooh. Oh, I can't help myself.
His stand-up is great. Like, he's so... comedians, I think, to be a good one anyway, you need to be pretty incisive and smart. But I think Robin Williams, he felt like above head and shoulders the rest in terms of his intellect. Yeah. Do you guys ever really get that feeling? Like, he's just so fucking
definitely
quick.
And I use the term crazy in a context of his comedy was out there.
Yeah.
You know, not in reference to any kind of mental health that he's, you know, that was obviously something that he suffered with throughout, you know, most of his career, I imagine. But, you know, my introduction was Mork, and he was, and it was crackers as a kid. Yeah. And I just remember thinking, this is absolutely amazing and bananas. And then, I won't say anymore, just in case there are any of the films that you've chosen. But, do you know what I'm saying?
I completely do, yeah.
You know, he was...
And you're wearing a red jumper today. If you put a big silver triangle on the front of that, you you could look like Mork.
Didn't even think.
Find your wig from somewhere.
Yeah.
Get some flowy looks.
Right, let's get going. Let's do it.
So, roughly speaking, sometimes I end up doing that with my top fives, where the other four I find it's difficult, but there's one that I hold true. Like, is that I definitely know straight away sometimes what my number one is on things.
Yes.
So that being said, what one would you like to pick for the number 5 slot?
For the number 5, one to talk about? Yeah, if I had to talk about one, it would be Bicentennial Man. Because I loved that. I remember watching that when I was really, really young and thinking that those massive robots that were actually humans were already around. And I was just kind of really sad that I didn't have one. Oh. And I kept asking my mum if I could have a Bicentennial Man, and she'd smack me and send me back to the corner. No, I'm kidding. She would. She'd just be like, no, you're an idiot. That's not a thing. That's so sad. I wanted my Robin Williams Bicentennial Man.
I haven't seen it.
It's decent. It's good. It's good. Oh, I used to like special effects.
Well, I was probably about 40 when that came out.
Yeah.
And But I do remember it was like a lot of hype when that came out.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I haven't seen it. It was one of the ones that I was discussing at work today, and I was like, shit, I haven't seen that. And people were like, we was discussing all the films, and that was the one that came up. Everyone was like, it's really good. I was like, okay.
Well, it takes a look into kind of mortality and what we think of as being a human and what we think of as being a person. And it's just following this robot through his journey of wanting to be a human being. And it's just beautiful.
Oh. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I love that theme in movies of robots being humans. Wanting to become humans and stuff like that. And it's funny you say that, because it was a film that I nearly missed. And I don't think I caught it when it got released. I thought I caught it a few years later. So, yeah. And as I say, 37 movies I missed. So, it's quite easy for one to slip you by. It's been a while since I saw it. Can you know who else acted in it? Who else was in there?
Nope.
We will use the magic phones.
Yes, get on Google.
So, while you're doing that, talking about stuff like that, where robots almost are very human. Like, did you watch the one that was on BBC a few years ago? And I have a feeling it was called Human or Humans or something like that. And it was just the one where the family got the female robot, and then either the eldest son or the dad started to kind of get a bit of a crush on it. Mm. And did you watch it?
No, I kind of wanted to, but I just didn't have time. I knew it was going to get a bit sexy.
Do you know what? It was really good. And we saw about 4 episodes, and I think we were watching it on the iPlayer, and then they decided to remove it. So we've still never seen the end of it. But it was like kind of just a BBC thing, but it was really good.
Yeah,
it did look quite... I have to look
that
up. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Cool. And what's the other one that... Pip got all the... box set thing and signed stuff from it, didn't he?
Could literally be anything.
I Robot. No.
He was signing anything.
What was the one? Right. The female robot in the house.
Female robot.
Do you mean Ex Machina?
Yeah.
Ex Machina, Ex Machina?
Yeah.
I've heard it mentioned loads and everyone says it differently.
That is the one that he got all the stuff from.
That is fantastic. But
yeah, it's a really cracking movie.
That is brilliant.
Yeah, that really is.
That pushed the level.
Jeez, man. Yeah, that was a cracking movie.
Yeah. And the whole way through, you're like, what's going to happen?
Oh, yeah, I really didn't know how that was going to pan out as it goes. I'm trying to think who directed Ex Machina. I'm going to have to look at that.
Did you find out who else was in Bicentennial
Man?
Yes,
Sam Neill, who I fucking love, and that's what I was trying to remember. He was in Jurassic Park. And that was in and around that era as well, so that was kind of a...
Was Pierce Brosnan in Bicentennial Man?
I didn't see that, but it's Oliver Platt. And he looks a bit like a chubby Pierce Brosnan.
Maybe that's... Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. It's not Pierce Brosnan at all, but I always get those two mixed up. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Oscar Isaac was in Ex Machina. He was the main guy. He ended up going... He's been in a few films.
He's done so much now. He's amazing. He was in Sucker Punch as well. That's how I remember
him. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and no one ever recognises that. That's him. And that's the first thing I think of.
Yeah, that was crap. It was one hell of a crazy visual movie, wasn't it? Sucker Punch.
It's kind of like just one for cosplayers. Like, it's like a brilliant film to take strong characters away from. But as a film itself, did I enjoy it? Could I watch it 7 times in a row?
No, because I felt like the plot wasn't...
I've got to stop you there, Chris. Is that the criteria?
What if it's...
Could I watch it 7 times in a row? It doesn't tick that box, is it?
Yeah, no. Pick any Robin Williams film. Can I sit down and watch 7 times in a row? Yes.
Right, that's what we're going to make you do.
Sorry,
now.
Chris. We're going to stop the rules for this podcast.
We're going to stop it. We'll be back in 14 hours once you've watched Bicentennial Man.
I'd be so crap but gone on Brett's podcast. Films to be buried with. I'd just be like, Robin Williams. Any Robin Williams film.
But you said... have you ever done cosplay?
I haven't, because I went to a Comic-Con ages ago, and I can't even remember what I dressed up as now, but I went as something, and it was when I was still modelling, and I had someone come up to me and say, I follow you on Instagram, and you're not a real cosplayer, you're just a girl with your tits out, and I was just kind of, I know I was dressed in something like a really like Lolita dress or something, and I was just covered up, and I was just sort of, I can never do cosplay, because everyone's just going to think that I'm a model getting my tits out, for the sake of it.
It's a tough one, Matt.
This is old man moment.
Do not get your tits out in cosplay. Shoot.
Get them out.
No one wants this. What's cosplay? Oh, bless him. Oh, granddad.
Do you want to? Or?
No, go on. You're the guest.
Cosplay, in basic terms, is where you take like a character that you really love and then you dress up as them. and it's very popular among older people, and it's like nerd culture is really mainstream now, but it originally started from...
We're talking about Comic-Con, yeah?
Yeah,
and people
yeah.
just go and dress as Harley Quinn
and stuff
like that.
That's
cosplay. Right. Oh, okay, that's called cosplay, right. Oh, it's not some kind of
costume
sexual
play.
Thing.
No.
Costume
play. I mean,
play,
unless right. you want
there
it can
there
be.
We
anything
go.
Can be sexual, Stu. Well, says so creepy
that,
Chris.
That's
so I just can't help
Jesus
it, can
Christ.
I? Just can't help it.
Okay, well...
How much longer have we got?
Do you know what?
What?
Oh, I'd love to have done a cosplay. I haven't done it yet, but
it's
I'm
okay.
not ruling it out.
Shall we get like a... Shall we go as Powerpuff Girls or something to the next Comic Con?
Oh, I kind of quite like that.
I'd look incredible.
Sweet.
Yeah.
It's on the podcast now, we have to.
Sat there.
We went to a Comic Con once, and me and Pip spent most of the time counting how many... What was it? How many Jokers or Harley Quinns we could see? Because it had just come out of Suicide Girls.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. Like, I miss it. I kind of annoyed that I've been to... that's the only real big one I've gone to.
Yeah.
And like, I really love it. I love the culture. And,
yeah.
But these cosplayers, Stu, they take it to like a fucking...
I've seen all the pictures.
It's mind-boggling.
It looks brilliant.
It's amazing. Like it's an art form in itself.
And you can go and meet people there and that, can't you?
Yeah.
Like, I think Ed Skrein went one year, didn't he? And
like,
you could go and meet Ed and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's a big. We've had Ed on, and he's a great. Yeah. He's a big comic book fan himself, isn't it? I think when he came and did his top five of us, I think he had a comic book T-shirt on. I can't remember the one now.
But. I think Kevin Smith was at it last year.
I think UK one?
Yeah. Loads of my mates all of a sudden had photos with Kevin Smith, and I was like, where the fuck's that? Like, I want to meet Kevin Smith.
You're not allowed. You're not nerdy enough. You don't know what cosplay is. They won't let you in.
When you said cosplay was for like older people, I just presume it's just loads of people dressing up like Cocoon.
Cocoon. At the bottom of a swimming pool, drowning.
No, it's not necessarily like just for older people because there are a lot of young people in it now.
Yeah.
But the sort of I can't think of what the word is, but the kind of entitlement of you can only do it if you're a real nerd.
Right.
That comes from
okay.
the older generation.
I think that's a shame. Just any time. Like, how do you get new people excited?
Yeah,
if
exactly.
You can't? Like, I'm sorry. Like, you're attractive. You're a model. Like, that's a bit harsh to be saying. Sorry, you can't now cosplay just because. You're quite attractive and you've got breasts. It's a bit like, I get it though, you know, I get that why you'd feel uncomfortable if someone says that to you.
Yeah, for real.
Don't you go as Powerpuff Girls, girl.
Okay.
You do it, girl.
Thanks so much, Chris. Thank you. There are a lot of models that have gone around doing that though. Sorry to interject. I know you're going for something there, but I'm just cut right in. There are a lot of models that have gone from doing adult work to cosplay, and I think that's where it all comes in because they then get a Patreon or whatever and get a lot of money and they earn from cosplay, whereas a lot of people they just do it for the love of it, and that's where it kind of all gets a little bit muddy.
Yeah,
right, okay.
Sure.
So
and that's happened with Twitch as well.
Yes.
Where,
absolutely.
So basically the you know what Dan the Sack does.
Yeah.
But then you've got the gaming channels where you know, there's people who are there who are just basically just earning money off. They're not really games fans. They're just baiting people with, you know, their boobies hanging out and stuff like that. I don't know. I've not thought about any of this enough to know where I stand on any of it. Really.
I need to go back a little bit. So from cosplay, people that were adult, worked in, you know, adult work or stuff like that, then they can make money out of cosplay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So is that like kind of like a Patreon thing and...
It can be anything. They can. A lot of models that I know will do cosplay photo shoots and do like cosplay stripped down sets, and then they'll go to a Comic Con and sell prints of them as a certain character. Which, obviously, in an area full of people who may not necessarily get to meet women like that, will go over and buy every piece of merch they have just to talk to them. So they make a lot of money, and it does tend to annoy people around them.
Right.
I can get it in a way, but bitches gotta make money.
Right. Exactly. Like that. That's what I mean. Like. It's if you, what's the difference to that, to modelling? Like, in a sense, if you was modelling anything else, whether it was underwear, swimwear, or whatever, and people were like, wow, you look hot in that, and you work hard at making yourself look hot, there's a market
there's
for
a market,
it. So, you know, as long as the people are respecting the models, then, you know,
I
suppose
it's the other way around, though, of the models respecting the art of cosplay.
Yes, okay, fair.
There's a whole thing, which is why I don't want to get involved in it, no matter how much I would love to,
yeah.
But it's just a a line I don't want to even cross.
That's nuts. I didn't know anything about this.
Yeah.
I'm now thinking me and you should do some kind of cosplay
oh,
thing. Fuck
fucking
Patreon.
I'm so down for
yes!
that.
Yes! Please do.
Whatever, you guys tell us what you want. If you guys want me to have a pudding choker, that's fine.
Yes.
Yeah, you tell us what you want us to cosplay and we'll consider it.
Oh, it's got to be comic books, isn't it?
It doesn't have to be. It can be anything. It can be a movie.
My kids will really want me to be Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. It'll take work, mate. If you want to do it, like, it depends how far in you want to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I reckon you could do a good Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
6 burps, 1 podcast, not bad. B,
yes.
Number 4.
Hello. Oh, let me just check my list. Number 4 is The Birdcage.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good Have job. You actually seen
I've
this
seen
one?
Yeah,
bless Thank
you.
Fuck. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's fantastic. He just plays that role so, so well.
Did he win any awards for that?
I don't know. I mean, he should win an award for that.
Was that him and Billy Crystal in that?
This is what I mean about how I shouldn't have gone for just female characters, because I can't remember anything.
Hey, look, we're not
or
that
anyone.
My phone's died, so I can't actually help.
I'm gonna have a little look. Sorry, go on.
No, don't worry.
Carry on as you were talking.
So tell the listeners, if they haven't, a little bit about The Birdcage. What
so The Birdcage, Robin Williams runs a drag club, and it's brilliant. And his husband plays the main drag person star. I couldn't think of any word then. It was wonderful. So they run the club together, and it's all about how Robin Williams' son, I can't remember his name, what his name is in the film. Anyway, Robin's son comes in and he's met a wonderful girl, and he wants to marry her and introduce each other's families. But her family's all conservative.
Very conservative.
And I've no idea that his dad is gay and runs a drag club. And it's all about that.
So his son,
yes.
Val Goldman, he's Dan Futterman,
okay.
And his fiancée is Barbara Kelly, who's Calista Flockhart.
Oh, really?
Mm. And the other parent is... he's in a relationship with Albert, Nathan Lane.
Albert, yeah. Nathan Lane, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there we go.
What's Rob Williams' character's name?
Armand Goldman.
Yeah, cool. That click was so good.
It was very good.
Hank Azaria's in it as well. And Gene Hackman. A super cast.
Dude, any of them, I'm telling you, man. Everyone needs to just watch Robin Williams films for the rest of their life. That's all you ever need.
Yeah. You're sleeping. Like, that Bicentennial, when I did see the cast, had a solid cast. But yeah, Samuel just jumped out at me for that. I can't remember Gene Hackman in Birdcage. It's been a while since I saw it.
I saw it when it came out, and that's it. And that was 96, I believe.
I couldn't tell you.
Bang, 1996.
Well done. Well done. Congratulations. So what pulls these sort of ones, like Bicentennial and Birdcage, why are these making the cut?
I think it's the difference of human nature that he plays. Because he plays such... When you think of Robin Williams, you kind of just think of, like, oh, he's a comedy person. But there's such heart in every role that he plays. Like, the Birdcage is so hilarious and funny. But there's that beautiful gut feeling of his son's future family don't know that his father's gay and he's pretending that he's not. And it's just, it's beautiful. And Bicentennial Man, he's trying to be human. And it's just, there are really funny moments. But he's also just a brilliant actor. And I just love him.
Yeah.
And that is the 7th time I've said this so far.
That's fine. You've got another 100 to get through, loves.
So,
yes.
Before we go on to 3, let's talk about your career to date.
Oh Jesus!
All of it.
All
ready?
Of it.
Day one. Your first job.
Okay.
So a lot of people will know you as being a model, right?
Yes, they will. I'm a model. Oh, this is so hard because I have so many jobs. A model, I'm a photographer. I make content for other people as well. I am a videographer. I am a amateur YouTuber. I'm a trained body piercer.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
A loving partner, a great daughter, wonderful friend.
You're a hustler. You're a hustler, baby.
Yeah, dude, hustle never stops.
What's an amateur YouTuber? What's the difference from when do you cross the line?
Well,
to be
I'd like to get paid, but I don't.
That's the difference, obviously. Right, yes. Gotcha. Okay.
Yes. So I've got videos up there. My main ones at the moment are just like vlogs of when I've gone on shooting abroad, which I love traveling so much, and I've recently done 2 sex work videos. So I've just been doing a little bit of education about sex work and a little introduction of what it actually is, because a lot of people seem to be completely blissfully unaware that sex work is not just prostitution. That's not all it is.
Yeah,
which is shocking that most people just hear sex worker and go, "Oh, cool, so you have sex for money then?" It's like, nope, I don't.
Okay, so explain then. Explain a little bit.
So. Sex work, I should have written down the explanation. If you Google it, the Association of Sex Workers Online or somebody say that sex work is anything that defines exchanging money for any sort of sexual service. So it could be photos, it could be a conversation on the phone, a text message, and a sex worker can be engaging in sex work even if they don't class sex work as what they do.
Okay. Yeah.
So a lot of models, cam girls, go-go dancers won't actually associate themselves with sex work, but they are a sex worker.
Because of a primitive idea that a prostitute is a sex worker.
Yeah, exactly, and they don't want to be associated with that.
Okay.
But bringing themselves away from that association is adding to the taboo.
Definitely.
And if more girls just said, yeah, I'm a glamour model, that makes me a sex worker, then a lot of other people would just sort of go, okay, cool, so sex work isn't just... Yeah.
I really like that, B, and like when I saw you releasing some of your t-shirts the other day, that was one of the big things that like triggered me to invite you on as well, because
You
do sex work is like the t-shirts you're selling at the moment, isn't it? And that's you're using that money to help actually raise the awareness of sex work.
I am indeed. So I'm selling crop tops, tote bags, t-shirts at the moment, and that's all going into a separate fund. I've made a separate bank account for it and everything, so that's nice and accumulating a little bit of saving money, so that's good. And the plan is to set up a website that's going to act as a resource for other sex workers. And I also want to take it up and down the country, doing talks and getting lots of people involved that otherwise would not know anything about it, if that makes proper sense. There's a whole plan written down.
Because I do think there's a stigma with it. And
absolutely.
I don't know, I just find that it's just a funny thing that people... can disassociate it. I've had friends, I think where that has triggered from is having friends sort of being really disrespectful about predominantly other girls who have been in the sex work industry one shape or the other, and disassociating them with like people, just regular normal human beings, and I've had people say some really sort of like derogatory remarks about it, and it annoys me. It annoys me a lot.
Same.
You know, even like, but like you said about how it adds to the taboo when people disassociate themselves from it and stuff like that. There was a girl who I worked with the other day, and we were in a coffee shop, and I bumped into her randomly. It was just before work, and she was dressed. It's like dress down day, and she looked great, you know. And she said, someone at work said that I look like a cool girl. Like that, and I don't think that, you know, I think if you've got, if your reasons are sound and you're happy, in whatever thing you pursue. I don't think we should be apportioning a negative thing to saying what you're doing. And the girl behind the bar at the coffee stand was like, you don't look like a cool girl and stuff like that. And
yeah.
I'm at a coffee shop. It wasn't the time to be, you know, it was very quick. Sorry, but an accident kicks you. It wasn't the time to sort of like have a deep and meaningful at that point. But it's like, I think it's a shame because we're shunning people for well, that in itself is actually, you know, being prostitution, I guess, a cool girl, isn't it? But I still feel that's not like right to be sort of like saying, oh, it's wrong to be or it's wrong to look like that.
Yeah. And a lot of people saying things like, oh, well, I wouldn't let my daughter do that job, or, well, why not?
Yeah.
If she's happy, she's safe, she's earning a decent living. Yeah. I know a lot of girls that are younger than me that live in their own 3-bed house that they've bought themselves, they own their own car. And it's sort of like that. So if a girl's 21, she can afford all these things herself, she's got an education, with the money that she is earning, she's putting herself through uni debt-free, she's then getting a law degree and is going on to do... What's the issue with
that? It fucking annoys me.
What's the problem?
It's archaic.
It's ridiculous.
And it's primitive. It's part fear. It is.
Yeah. It's fear and not knowing a lot of people who are sort of like more... just from the old school about bodies, especially, I don't know, if the English are
That's exactly what it is.
I think it makes people feel bad about sexuality and sexual nature. Mm. And the weird thing about that is we are all sexual beings, you know, to one extent or another. This is coming from a guy who, about 20 minutes ago, started going, well, cosplay can be sexy.
Yeah. Making flippant remarks about people, the way people look. You walked straight in my kitchen, the first thing you'd done was dissed what I was wearing.
So true.
But yeah, I think that's if you're happy in what you're doing, I think that's the most important thing. If you're happy and you're safe, you know, or within no job is completely safe, you know, but at the same time within what you find as acceptable standards, and that, you know, you're not jeopardizing your life and health for it, then, you know, what does it matter?
What's the alternative? Go and do a job that you really don't fucking like and just sit in an office doing something that you really don't like, surrounded by people you've got nothing in common with for the rest of your fucking life, just so you don't upset some fucking ignorant people.
Mm. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's one of the... me and my nan actually were talking about the other day because she asked if I'd ever done porn completely randomly. She was like... porn, and I was like, no, Nan, but I might. And she was like, oh, well, good for you, you do what you want. And that's the first conversation we've ever had like that, because she's a lady that has some interesting opinions on some things, and we tend to just steer clear of that. So when she just went, did you porn? I was like, no, Nan, but thanks for asking. But we had the discussion that I couldn't imagine going back to a 9-to-5 job. I've done them in the past. I've been a cleaner, I've done all sorts of jobs, and I could not imagine working another retail job at all. Working an hour to earn what's minimum wage, £7 something, £8 we'll say. Working £8 an hour when I can sit at home and sell a print for £20 and sell 6 prints in a day. And I've sat on my bed doing a bit of admin work and I've earned £200 in a day.
Mm.
And my mum's coming home from a job she hates, calling me saying, I just hate it, I'm so tired all the time, and I've earned £40. Mum, do porn. Well, if you're listening.
Get stuck in. Bees, mum, do porn.
Oh my God. Wait, you're not allowed to say it.
I think that, yeah, it's true. Again, it's that ideology of how we've seen how people are expected to earn money, and still that 9-to-5 ideology, really.
Uh-huh.
And people won't struggle to let go of that as much as they do the more taboo sort of ways to earn money showing your body or whatever. Sure. But
it's judging others by your own morals as well. Because a lot of people say things like, I'd much rather you were a policeman. And I'm like, well, why? Well, obviously there are massive differences between being a policeman and being a cam girl.
Mm.
But you're judging another person. I'd like to combine them
two, though, to be honest with you. Sexy cam girl, police outfit.
I mean,
sure, that's
what
there.
You're into. It's already out there, dude. Get on Pornhub. No, wait, don't go on Pornhub. Straight away, don't go on Pornhub. It's stolen porn. Please pay for your porn.
Exactly.
I want to make that a thing that I've said on this podcast.
Definitely.
Please pay for your porn. There are many ways of doing so. Pay for it directly. Okay. Yeah. And that is shipping your personal public safety announcement. Okay. Thank
Banking
you very much.
Safety announcement.
Oh my God.
Sorry, B. I interrupted your what you were saying about the difference between being a police officer and
yeah, it's, it's, yeah. you're judging somebody based on your own moral grounds of being a police officer is much more morally acceptable than taking your clothes off for money, and that says more about you as a person than the person doing it.
Definitely.
Completely.
Because you're then saying that someone else doing the job that they that makes them happy shouldn't do it because you don't approve. What kind of person does that?
It's so strange. And it isn't your job. But they say that a lot, that people do feel that they need to have their job that defines them. Again, that's something that we've had more so over the last few hundred years. But yeah, I know loads of bad coppers. Like coppers, honestly, like that aren't particularly nice or good people.
Yeah.
So it isn't their job that is the thing that makes them a decent or wholesome person or someone that you want to be associated with.
Yep.
By any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. So it's such a strange thing to think is, oh, you do this or you do that, so then therefore you're bad.
Yeah. And it's usually the, and as you mentioned, it's a lot of time it's girls on other girls saying things like, oh, I wish I had a sugar daddy, and in the same breath comment on how a stripper is a slut. When that's actually, you want to be a sex worker if you're talking about, oh, I had a sugar daddy to pay for everything. That's sex work, babe.
Yeah.
That's being a sex worker. And you're then dissing strippers who are buying the things you want 10 times over for money they've earned in a night.
Yeah.
So, it's not all about the money, obviously. Like, a lot of the work I do doesn't pay well, but I love it. And I get to do it on my own time. I work by my own schedule. And it makes me happy. And I don't have to answer to anyone, which is nice. I couldn't imagine having a boss now. Work for someone else, could not imagine it, wouldn't do it. No, thank you. Stop asking me to work for you guys. I'm not doing it.
Well, you do photography. How did you get into photography?
Started with modelling. And actually, that's a complete and utter lie. When I was 15, I started a college course in photography. And the Pearson studio that I was working at the time said, you don't need college, don't go. So I was like, okay, I'll just live my life here. And gave that up. And I always loved having a camera and just taking photos, as that sounds. And then when I got into sex work, I was earning enough to buy my own camera and lenses and everything, and got a Photoshop training pack thing. Taught myself Photoshop.
You was balling then, basically. If you could put
a while ago.
Lenses.
Skin now. Bought all those lenses and I have no money. But yeah, I loved it. And through modelling, I've met a lot of amazing other models and they were kind enough to let me shoot them, photograph them for people around the world. I didn't actually shoot them because a lot of people weirdly get mixed up there and I have to clarify, so you're weird. But yeah, so I got to photograph a lot of my friends, and they were very kind about it. And again, through modelling, I met a lot of photographers who were happy to teach me things I didn't already know. And that's how I got into that.
Superb.
So, so that's my little journey.
What are you like with a camera, mate?
Not bad.
Yeah?
Yeah, been out taking photos today with Brad Acton.
Have you? Yeah, his beard looks epic today.
Yeah, we went up to just some boring stuff. Nothing particularly exciting and crazy.
Cool, well, let's just carry on with being.
Yeah, do you know what? It's a really fucking dull story. But I've been out today doing some videoing with Brad, yeah. But nothing of that is exciting in the slightest.
Aww.
I've got a terrible eye for a photo. I'm really not good at it.
You don't take a good one either.
No, cruel. You're cruel. Sorry to do a podcast.
B.
Yeah.
B, number three.
Let me check my list. Oh, number three, obvious. Mrs. Doubtfire.
Is that cosplay?
Creepy. I think it's more. If you went, it's a whole different. If I let's think of the storyline to Mrs. Doubtfire. Robin Williams splits up with his wife and loves his kids so hard that he decides to pretend to dress up as a nanny so he could spend all day with them. That ain't cosplay, mate. That's the storyline to also a horror film as much as it is.
Well,
have you seen when they've re-edited it as a horror film?
No.
Fucking amazing. So they've re-edited Mrs. Doubtfire as a horror movie.
That
as
is
a trailer.
So sick.
Genius. It's so good. It's done. They've done it so well. So I'll show it to you later.
Yeah. You can never, ever, ever hear Dude Looks Like a Lady and not think of that film, right?
Yeah.
Right. It is. So you immediately think of that. And the scenes of just hoovering. Oh. Oh. But again, it's another film where it's really funny.
Yeah.
And you laugh. But at the heart of it,
he just wants some love.
He just wants to be near his kids. And it's really, really beautiful how throughout the film, he teaches his kids about how divorce isn't a horrible thing. And it's like one of the best films, I think, that doesn't have the "and everyone lived happily ever after" endings. No. But it makes you, it teaches you something from a young age.
It was really good for that. It didn't cop out like that. It didn't make it obvious in that sense. And actually, it was a film of its age as well, I think.
Yeah.
I think probably divorce rates and stuff like that by the time Doubtfire was released is probably really going through the roots by that point, wasn't it? And probably was kind of good, but without selling some kind of false message to kids as well, without having to say, for this to be all right,
the mum and dad have to get back together.
They have to get back together. Actually, there's a life beyond that. And also, plus, your dad might end up getting a sick show on TV with Bert dinosaurs.
But, right? Oh, my God. So good, so good.
Have you ever dressed up as a woman and then followed your kids around?
No, it's really weird. I was having a conversation with my kids the other day.
About dressing up as a woman?
Yeah. And Carol went, "Danny used to wear a dress on stage every night." And I was like, "Oh, yeah." And then the kids were like, "Really?" And I was like, "Yeah." And so that was a kind of, not that I've ever felt any need to not mention it to the girls.
It's not come up yet, basically.
It just hasn't come up that, you know, they knew I was a fucking idiot in bands for years, but didn't realise I was necessarily wearing a dress on stage every night. But never looked good, not once.
No. No offence, I just don't think you
No, I'm not, I'm not. Do you know what? In the mid-90s, like, when kind of, like, early Blur and early Pulp and stuff like that, we started going up to, like, Soho, these clubs and that, and there was lots of kind of, it was, like, guys were experimenting with, like, eyeliner and little, but, like, bits of glitter and stuff like that, and I thought, right, I'm going to get involved, and because I loved music, I thought it was a really strong look.
And you love glitter?
I love glitter.
Brilliant. Carry on.
but I'll show you a photo shoot that I've done for a magazine, right, where I'm wearing glitter.
I'm loving where this is going.
And eyeliner, right?
Oh, mate.
I can't pull it off. Yeah. I can't pull it off. Yeah. And I'm not suggesting I'm like Mr. Alpha Male, like, look like a builder.
Yeah.
But even when I was clean shaven and bear in mind, I have peroxide white hair at this point.
Yeah. Whoa.
And a fur jacket, like, well, faux fur.
Faux fur.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Little bit of glitter. I had this thing, right, and it was like, it was an, because I've got big eyebrows, it was an eyebrow gel pen laced with glitter. So my eyebrows would be quite glittery. So I was trying to be a bit kind of, it was
edgy and
a bit pre-Britpop, you know, quite camp, and I was comfortable with it.
Yeah.
But I just,
didn't look right.
It didn't look right.
Yeah.
And I wish it did.
Yeah.
I ain't got the cheekbones, mate.
No.
Oh, I'll get fillers.
I mean, I reckon the kids might be a little confused if I come home with, like, glittery eyebrows and fillers now and went, "I'm going to Soho and I've got to find someone to
explain, this is how Daddy's happiest."
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Oh, dear. All right. Ever worn makeup, Chris?
It's weird, isn't it? Because I've had I've put on mascara before just to see what it looks like, and once your eyes are that dark, it was quite scary.
Yeah.
Mascara scared you
a little bit on me, because I was just, because obviously how it changes the eye, it was as simple as that. It was nothing more, anything more complicated. No, not really. I've at the clothes shop I used to work in back when I was like 18, I often wore a dress at the shop. Just on a Sunday. A lot for shits and giggles, but also what I did notice is how complicated dresses are to wear. Like with, like, a pair of trousers, you just whip them on, you just pull them up, that's it, belt done, problem solved. Wearing dresses like this, depending on the shape of the dress and that, they're like a fucking Rubik's Cube trying to get some of those on.
Yeah, I mean, geez, you've done really well to work out putting a dress on. It must be very
mate,
difficult.
If you've not, there are
what, top, with that big hole in the bottom.
Come on. Like a zip there at the top, back sometimes.
No, they're not. They're sometimes they've got string here.
But they're armholes.
No, not armholes. It's confusing. It really was, yeah. Like, they were complicated dresses.
Guys, if anyone else has ever struggled with putting dresses on and has got any advice for Chris, please let us know.
He's starting a club on Sundays. Yeah. So we can all get together and talk about
dress club. That's it. That's the only.
I can't believe you were here on time. You must have just got your dress on quite easily today.
Well, it was hard, you know. I had to get some help.
Yeah.
Have you never found that putting on like tops complicated when they're like if they've got? Different...
Well, I reckon my head goes through the big hole. My arms go through the two little ones.
No, like, you guys have both hung me out to dry on that one.
Just like an old dress.
Didn't. So yeah, Mrs. Doubtfire is pretty.
It's brilliant.
It's pretty epic, isn't it?
Yes.
B Ducks number 2.
Hello, me. I can remember what number 2 is, but I'm gonna look just in case. Yeah, number 2. Nearly got number 1 for me because this film I could watch at least 9 times in a row. I reckon.
Okay.
Surpasses number 7, and it's Hook.
Yeah. Do you know what? I've wrestled with this being my number 1. I wonder if our number 1s are the same. But yeah, Hook's
fucking genius.
Hook is just oh, it's the tits. I love it.
Yeah, it's a clever fable, I think.
It's amazing. Mm. It's fantastic. Again, teaches you amazing things. It's wonderful, and it's hilarious. And Rufio.
Love he was it. A cool dude, wasn't he, Rufio?
Oh, yes. I
don't want to do any spoilers, but literally, if you've not watched Hook now, who are you? But yeah, like Rufio, croaking was hard. It's hard to watch.
Dude, right?
Yeah.
I think
that's
one of the first movie deaths that I ever cried at.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, Rufio. So sad. Because it was just such a lovable little baddie at first.
Exactly. A cool-looking baddie, but in the end, you know.
Super cool.
Yeah, it comes good. What, who was Hook? Was it Dustin Hoffman?
Yeah,
it was, wasn't it? Of course it was.
Him taking off that wig, or not having the wig on, was one of the creepiest things I've ever seen when I was that age.
Yeah.
Dude, that fucked me up when I was little. Because I was just sort of, nope, that does not look right. I don't like it. No. Put the wig back on.
It's so weird how it changed. Spielberg
as well.
Yeah.
Oh, of course it was.
Mm. True story.
Oh, it's so good. So good. Julia Roberts as Tinkerbell, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Julia Roberts as Tinkerbell. Goddamn.
Absolute babe.
Yeah.
It's a good. It's a cool story, Hook. You know, it's a good reimagining of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the croc sort of is in it but isn't it like it comes in at the end and gets his man but
well it's after like Pete Pan's story because he's so if you haven't watched it first of all stop this podcast and go and watch Hook and come back to this but it's after Ron Williams plays Peter when he's all grown up and he has to go back to Neverland to save his children I just love him so much oh my god he's amazing and I love him I just love him. It's just such a good film. They're all good films. Jesus Christ, someone stop me. I just love him so much.
I don't think I've seen a re... I don't... That, to me, still is where the buck stops with Peter Pan. Like, there hasn't been one that's come out since that I've preferred.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a recent one called Pan. And it was sort of like... I mean, I can watch it because I love Peter Pan as a premise. And have you heard the like, fucked up backstory of what Peter Pan actually is?
No.
Well... I'm probably going to get it wrong. Anyone correct me?
Chris operates on guesswork anyway.
Dude, so I know.
That's my PhD, BSE.
Well,
guesswork.
MD.
Another top five that I actually thought about was top 5 times Chris has just chatted absolute bullshit.
Oh, do you know what? If you would have told me that, I would have had a completely separate 5 as well. That would have been brilliant.
Right. Oh, you should have Pip back on and do that one. That's what I think. Oh, God, you're
that's an MD. What's the MD? What's the PhD in?
Guesswork.
I like to approximate things. You know, get things in like a rough area, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Life's too quick for the details.
Yeah, of course it is, mate.
Oh god, that's so embarrassing. So that was going to be a top 5. I thought about it.
Yeah,
because Pip would have been sat next to you, like absolutely trying to get him in as well, wouldn't
he? Yeah, he'd have been sending him separately, just in a separate text, going, send this one, say this one, and he'd probably been texting me now, saying just like an honorable mention, that was my phone across the table.
Not Pip actually texting you now, going, oi,
tell Chris he's a cunt.
Whenever you say anything that he's ridiculous. I will generally get a text the day of release.
Yeah.
Like, or if I say something ridiculous and you haven't picked up on it, he will message me saying, yeah. Chris did not even notice that, did he? And it's a little joke that I'm really pleased with that doesn't get that gets completely ignored because you're too busy indulging in your own guesswork.
The other day, you said it was like when you'd gone to the optician or something, and you said it was. Oh, what did you say about having like one eye or something?
The monocle.
The monocle. Oh, that's amazing. Is that within with one eye? And you just didn't respond at all.
Well, that's, no, I mean, I did. I was sat here laughing, wasn't I, about the one
well,
eye.
It didn't
yeah,
come across.
Whiffing with one eye, I think.
Oh, whiffing with one eye. Oh, I didn't hear that. But yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I can just like imagine your face like all giddy, like, oh, that was so funny. And I
just knocked that out of the park and he didn't even realise.
I love how you sit there thinking that's the only time it happens. Like sometimes I sit there and I'll sit back with my arms folded going, well, expect laughter. And you're like just staring at me and I'm like, what? That's
you
brilliant.
Won't get it.
But by the medium of podcasting, it just sounds like you just don't even hear it.
Well, back to Hook, yeah.
I'm really curious now to know what your one is. Like, I'm not going to push you for it yet because...
So many.
There's quite a few that I would have had in there that you haven't mentioned yet, so I'm quite curious as to where we're going with this.
That's what I meant. I couldn't. That's why number five is provisionally just all Millions films.
Yeah.
Because they're cracking.
Yeah.
And everybody has their own sort of favourites, and it says a lot about them what their favourites are.
Yeah.
True story.
So we're gonna find out now.
Yeah.
B's gonna judge us.
This better be good because so far you've not really mentioned many of mine. You've just come in here like wrecking lives with your top five.
Well, we did horror movies last week, and it was so hard to do a five, and like I felt like I was cheating on all the other horror movies that I love. Like, I felt like I needed to give them all time, and I didn't. And
I
so
got
I still,
five.
Oh, no.
I got five, and they were all horror. Which was good.
Yeah, congrats. Stu doesn't understand the work.
It was a horror podcast.
He doesn't understand the mechanics of horror.
When we done top five zombie films, two of my films didn't have zombies in. I didn't know 28 Days Later weren't zombies.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I'll give you
not
that.
Not 28
one.
Days, like Dog Soldiers.
Dog Soldiers. See, he's. Didn't you have Lost Boys in there? That makes me. That boils my blood. I can't begin to tell you things we did like Pet Hates the other day. The fact that you think Lost Boys is zombies is.
Oh, I don't even know why I said it.
Boils my blood.
That is distressing.
I know. I loved Lost Boys.
Well, clearly not,
you
man.
Didn't.
I have a Lost Boys t-shirt.
Well, burn it.
Yeah.
You don't deserve it.
I don't deserve to wear it, do I? What's your top spot?
Are you ready for it?
Yes.
I don't know if you are.
Strapped in.
You're so sad. My top one is What Dreams May Come.
What Dreams May Come.
I haven't that seen is my it.
Whoa!
You know what? I don't think
Whoa!
I've seen it.
Whoa. Whoa.
That
is possibly, apart from Dead Poets Society, that is like the saddest Robin Williams film.
Patch Adams!
I mean, Patch Adams is really, really, really sad. But it's not on the level of What Dreams May Come.
Right.
I thought 1 hour photo was pretty sad.
1 hour photo was like...
He was a very sad man.
Dude. Oh my God.
Well, I haven't seen What Dreams May Come.
I can't believe my top spot.
Yeah. I'm gutted. Absolutely gutted.
I'm disappointed.
So, well, the exciting thing here is, B, like, it's something I don't know about, so I get to hear about
that's
it.
That's good.
So,
yeah, it's an introduction to something wonderful.
Yes.
Oh, my God, it sounds fucking harrowing.
Dude, see?
Right, okay.
I was about to just shout dude for the sixth time then. I'm just so distraught that neither of you have seen it.
Oh, my God. So tell us about What Dreams May Come.
Okay, so What Dreams May Come is about... Oh, there's so much sad shit that happened. Okay, I'm not going to say all the sad shit, but... Basically, Robin Williams, obviously, his two children pass away. I believe it's in a car accident, but I can't really remember. And his wife is so sad, and she's just really, really upset about it all. And he's helping her through all of her depression. And then, I think he's a doctor, I believe, and there's a car crash in front of him, and he goes to help people, and he ends up being killed. Oh. And he goes to heaven. And the way heaven is depicted is just... amazing and marvellous, and I love it so much. Oh. And from heaven, he is looking down and seeing how sad his wife is. And there's she's a painter, and she does a painting of like a purple tree. And I was gonna get that tree tattooed on me, but I didn't, and I'll tell you why I didn't later on. But she's so sad that she kills herself and goes to hell because she's quit suicide.
Oh, fuck.
And the rest of the film is him travelling from heaven and going on a journey to go and get her from hell. And he was like, he's there's one bit where he just says to her, like, I'd rather be in hell with you than have you down here alone. And it's just,
oh my gosh,
it's the whole film
that
is just,
sounds so good.
It's
he has a spirit guide, which is Cuba Gooding Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, useful.
But there's a twist there. When you watch it, you'll be excited about it. There's a couple of twists where you just sort of like, ah, like that. That's the noise that will come out.
It often does. Oh shit!
Yeah, it's a beautiful film. It's wonderfully done.
Oh, that sounds so good. I can't believe I've never seen
it. I'm just.
There was me thinking you were going to go with Jumanji. But that's good though.
Like, I thought Flubber. Like,
oh my god! But emotionally polar opposite.
I thought the good thing about these podcasts is that every now and again you get a good little kind of tip off.
Yeah, that, for sure.
I'm all over that.
No, same.
My kids will love that as
the
well.
The fact that you've rated it as number one means that it's God, it's not even
it that could all the noises.
Does it get you? Is it quite
it's
quite
every
emotional?
Time I watch it, every
is it still every, guaranteed tearjerker for you?
Absolutely. And even throughout, it isn't just like, oh, the ending is sad and it makes you cry. Throughout the film, there are several points that I'm just on the floor in a ball crying. I can't watch the film because it's just so beautiful.
Do you like having a little cry at a film?
I do, because I don't like crying. I'm proper, like, if I cry, I'm like, it's either when I'm really angry or I feel weak when I cry. So if I watch a film and it makes me cry, I'm like, I hate you, but I love you because you've got that emotion from me.
Watched a film a little while ago, and I've never got to the point where I had to pause it to compose myself because I was crying that much. And because, like, Patch Adams,
you are so caring, Patch and lovely. Adams, what a lovely human being you are.
Patch Adams made me cry when I first saw it. But I haven't really been moved by a film to the point of tears for years. Yeah. And that's not me trying to be a tough guy. I just haven't.
Tough.
And then, but it was that Journeyman. And it just fucking done me. Yeah. And like, to the point where I was like, oh, I've got to stop it. I've got to stop this and fucking sort myself out, because I could not follow the dialogue because I was literally bawling. You haven't seen it yet, have you?
No.
Have you seen it yet, babe?
I haven't, and Pip's very mad at me for it.
Yeah,
I need to see it.
It's a beauty.
Well, it's aimed at you completely, isn't it?
Yes.
Completely. Yes. He was really annoyed that you hadn't gone and seen it in the cinema.
I know.
He's like, you're the demographic, and I was just like, tell him.
I know.
Well, it might have been better that you didn't. You might have felt more on guard around it. You could really open up at home and watch it and sort of like really connect with
That's
it.
True.
I would have been. I would always wear a balaclava in the cinema anyway, so I could have cried and no one would have seen
it.
No,
and also it will soak up the tears straight away as well. That's a smart thing about balaclava.
That is such a good tip. Yeah. We've all learned something new today.
Exactly. Oh, I was talking today about disguises. Why does the Invisible Man wear dark glasses?
I have no idea. Because it would be shit if you, like, it wouldn't be that good a movie if you couldn't see him at all.
Do you know what? Wouldn't that be a great film if you made The Invisible Man and just wandered around with a camera and just filmed nothing? Yeah. There's nothing.
Really true, really true to itself.
Yeah, exactly. He's not invisible. He's got glasses on.
Very insightful. He's busted his own. He's only as invisible as his most visible thing. Those black shades. He's no longer invisible.
Exactly. All right, Robin Williams. What was you throwing in there?
I completely forgot about this. So I think this would probably be my number one. Is Aladdin. It's the genie in Aladdin.
I love it.
And I loved Aladdin. And I'm not a huge Disney film dude, really. And I thought Aladdin, again, like we said about Hook being like where I stopped with Peter Pan movies, Aladdin was pretty much, you know, I still loved that one probably the most. I mean, I know there's loads of other ones and everyone go, oh, you're wrong, it's obviously Lion King or whatever. But yeah, no, I loved it. And I thought the genie was the main draw for Aladdin. I thought he had, and he really had Robin's personality in there, in all its glory. So, that would probably be my number one. But I've got obviously a few others that other mentions. How about you, mate?
Good morning, Vietnam. Oh, so good.
Yeah,
really.
Love
good.
It. Love it.
Was he as big a household name?
That when that film came out, I went to cinema to see that, and I would have been maybe 35, second, third year senior.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
And just, I remember like the trailer, seeing him dancing to I Feel Good by James Brown and yeah. like, and just having it in the radio studio. I just thought, and at that point, you got to realise this is the era of Platoon, Full Metal Jacket, mm-hmm. like Vietnam films were just
Leak
coming,
as fuck
Hamburger
as well,
Hill, yeah. like they were just coming thick and fast. Mm. And then all of a sudden, he added some real dynamic to it mm-hmm. as well, like and kind of comedy. And oh, love it, absolutely love it. I think he's fucking brilliant in that film.
No, definitely. I think that was possibly, that was the film I heard about him first, I think. And then all the other goodness. I probably saw him on Malcolm Mindy before that. I'm not too sure. But definitely that was the first movie that he was in. I was yeah. like, oh, okay, well, this guy's really good. And I was probably a bit too young for it. No, no offence, but I was probably a bit too young to really feel the full effect of Good Morning Vietnam yeah. until later on. But yeah, no, it is an absolute... It's a fucking treasure, man. It really mm-hmm. is. As is a lot of his stand-up. And, you know, he'll be sorely missed. And I guess we haven't mentioned that yet, have we? Like his poor passing and,
yeah.
and stuff like that. I don't know if you guys want to talk about it, but it was gutting to hear. And it was really weird because actually when I was doing my research for this bee, I heard his wife come forward and talking about his passing 18 months later. And what I was angry about is not what she said at all, but how different it was to all the stuff that was getting said in the papers when he passed for yeah. all the reasons that he died. And then his wife sort of come out and said, well, no, it's not those things, you know. And it's that he was really ill, and you know, and we don't think he was going to get, he was dropping off. The man even I was seen there was not the same as the man I'd known like
yeah.
6 months before, and it was Lewy body dementia, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it's just such a shame. But she said, you know, he's a really strong man, and it kind of annoys me when people all, when he died, like, oh, he's killed himself. What's a rich yeah. person got to be doing? He's a comedian. That sort of stuff sort of boils my blood, really. Mm. And it made me feel fucking, you know, yeah, sad. It was, you know, to see her say that at least is like, well, it's nice that she had the class to not be fighting and bickering yeah. at the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, by the way, you know, when you were all being total cunts about yeah. this,
mm-hmm.
well, we looked after family, and just to let you know and set it straight.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he'd suffered with mental health his whole life.
Mm.
But towards the end, it was dementia that unfortunately was the killer. And there's reports of him like taking all of his really expensive watches to his friend's house because he thought his wife was going to sell them, and thinking that his daughter was crazy, and just so much reports about him just not knowing who his family were. And it's horrible seeing, obviously, I don't know him personally, I feel like I do, but I don't, seeing somebody with such a strong personality and such a just a strong person losing themselves is just, it's just horrendous. And obviously having that on a public scale, because it's not just a family member going through it, this is somebody that's in the public eye, and in the public eye for being Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And he was no longer that person anymore. And that's just horrible. I feel like if I was in that situation where, I mean, I never will be, but if I'm in a situation where the whole world knows who I am, and I'm no longer that person, am I really anybody anymore?
Hmm.
So it's that horrible little thing as well. And even his friends, Pip got me a book recently that was all about Robin's life, and even his friends have said throughout their lives, they never really felt like they knew the proper Robin, that he always kept something behind, and the comedian that was the forefront of his personality wasn't truly him. And
that's definitely the case about so many comedians, yeah. right? You know,
yeah, for sure.
I do think it's a trait in a lot of comedians.
Yeah. Well, he originally wanted to do comedy because it made his mum laugh, and he was a really... his dad was like a Ford dealership person, and they moved around a lot, and he
right.
never really made proper friends at school.
Right.
And he spent a lot of his time on his own or with his mum, and he just wanted to make his mum laugh all the time. And he was really academically clever. Something you said earlier, that he was really clever. Mm. He was a really smart guy, yeah. And then he went to like a university or a college or something and found drama and got into a club that was improv and just excelled and just stopped paying attention to school completely and flunked everything, but loved acting, and then got his big break.
So have either of you ever seen him inducting Robert De Niro into some kind of Hollywood guild or
the
something
Actors Guild.
Like that. Yeah. No. It's something like that. Like, and he's getting this huge like no. accolade, oh, De Niro. Right, no. And Robin Williams comes on and inducts him. It's fucking brilliant.
I haven't seen this.
It's so good. Like, oh, I watched it a few weeks ago. I don't know what... do you know what? I was watching episodes of Malcolm Indy on YouTube. and it led me onto this. And then, funnily enough, the other night, as when you walked in, Friends was on the TV. The kids are watching Friends all the time. They've just discovered it. Robin Williams was in Friends, wasn't he?
Oh, I can't.
Was he?
There's a scene... where they walk into the coffee shop,
yeah.
and Robin Williams and Billy Crystal are sitting on the sofa.
Oh, really?
And they're all sort of sit down at random, and they're having a really, really aggressive camp argument. And it's
oh, I've never seen this.
Really?
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna have
it's
to.
It's brilliant,
that.
And they just both just scream at each other, and then walk out, and the rest of the cast of Friends are just like watching, but. Obviously, it's this mega camera, like Billy Crystal and Robin Williams. It's, like, it's fucking amazing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Man, I have to check that. You've got two referrals.
I know. This is amazing.
From, one horror-based one.
Oh, don't forget about balaclavas as well. I'm learning something.
Yeah.
So, before we wind it up, because we've been quite grown up, we're all going out for dinner afterwards, aren't we?
You say that, but we haven't got to the bloody restaurant yet. Last time we went for an Indian, I got up. Didn't I burn my hand or get... Sambuca in my eye or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that kind of birthday thing, wasn't it? Yeah, you set yourself on fire.
Set myself on fire. Whoa. For you, buddy.
firstly, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
For coming and doing this. And where can people find out all about B and what you're up to?
I am on most social medias as It's B-Dux, ItsBeadux. I have a Patreon if you want to check out my body. Because first and foremost, alternative glam model, that's what I do. So it's patreon.com/bdux. And that's my main socials. You can find out everything else on there.
Excellent. Well, we will tag you in all the posts that we put out when this comes out in a few weeks. And message us back. Tag in B and let us know what your favourite Robin Williams films are.
What did we get wrong?
And
B, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Glad we finally got you on.
Just quickly, why didn't you get the green tattoo?
I didn't get the purple tree that she painted.
Purple tree.
Because, funnily enough, I was scheduled to get that done the day he passed away and called my tattoo what I was saying, I'm really sorry. Shit. I know it sounds stupid, but I can't.
Yeah.
And he was like, I totally understand. He was like on the phone like, I get it. So we rescheduled, and then when I went in to get tattooed, he convinced me to get a portrait of him instead. So my leg has got his face on, and that has ignited so many amazing conversations on public transport. People just going, Robin Williams, I love that film he's in. And I'm like, let's have a chat. Come on, I've missed my stop, but it's fine. It,
Well, sign up to B's Patreon, and you can see that tattoo.
Yes. And everything else.
See you, B.
Thanks, B. Brilliant.
Bye.
There you have it. Another Hard Collison episode done. In the can. Finished. Bagged up. Oh, B was lovely, right? Knew you'd love her. We had a smashing time. And then, obviously, I mentioned at the beginning, once we finished this chat, we all went out and ate some nice food and drank some booze and had a really nice night. So, thanks, B, for coming down south to do that. Thank you very much, Distraction Pieces Network, for being the pod dad of this, and be love to yous most of all. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe. Head over to iTunes and give us a rating if you can. Just give us 5 stars and then just say something really ridiculous about us. And if you can, it would be amazing if you could head over to Patreon and watch the video and see if you can get involved in supporting that and getting extra podcasts each week. I'll see you next week. Thanks. It's a drunken soiree in the Within. Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.